Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is your host, David Murphy, publisher of the National Black Unity News. I want to welcome everybody who's on Facebook Live, as well as Blog Talk Radio, and those of us who are currently present on our Zoom call. We have with us thus far Ms. Cheryl Ricks, Brother Haki, Brother Satawi Jahi, and I see my brother Ronald Miles and Vernon Streeter. And I'm quite sure others will be, you know, coming on board. But I just want to thank everybody for their participation because, you know, information is vital in our community. And we must use all the tools necessary to communicate with one another, because that's one of the first things that happens when people take over another people or another country. They cut off the lines of communication. And think even though in this country we own less than 1% of the media, but nevertheless, we still have some voices. And so we must use them. We need to support majority of our outlets and communicate with one another, because this is how we can support one another, share information with one another. But before we get started with our podcast this evening, I want to introduce to you my partner, my fellow soldier, Brother Satawi Jahi, who always brings us some powerful information. Brother Satawi, you got it, sir.
All right. Thank you, David. How's everybody doing this evening? Hope everybody's doing fine and under the circumstances going through this crazy pandemic. Be glad when it's over. But we're still in the midst of it. And thank God for those of us still alive and able to participate in this podcast tonight. We do, when we come on here each week, we do a reading from Daily Motivations for African American Success by author Dennis Kimbrough, who's also the author of Think and Grow Rich, A Black Choice, A Blueprint for Changing the Curse of Poverty in Our Families. The reading for today goes like this. Try this on for size. People may doubt what you say, but they will always believe what you do. Nannie Helen Burroughs, educated and civil rights activist. Reading for today. Many of us languish under a consciousness of I'll try. Just two little words, so enabling, yet so inhibiting. Trying is usually an excuse for not doing. It is a concept employed to justify self-defeat. For example, have you ever tried to sleep at night? If you did, you wake up the next morning groggy and lifeless. Have you ever tried to lose weight? If so, the only thing you probably did was waste time. Just try to quit smoking. So many smokers do so as they light up another cigarette. Trying to quit means you're still smoking and working like hell not to. If you try to do something, you're spending a great deal of energy on activity, not accomplishment. An accomplishment is the bottom line. In the real world, there is no A's for effort, only for results. If you doubt me, just try to sit down. Either you do or you don't. I know many college dropouts who have tried to complete their degrees. Remember, the world will judge you, not try to judge you, by your actions, not your intentions. Today I will do, not just try. And that is so important, you know. You have that saying, you know, I'll try, or call somebody and you ask, how you doing? Oh, I'm hanging in there. You're doing more than hanging in there. You're doing more than trying. So you always want to be focusing on what you can accomplish. And that's so, so important today as we move forward in this world with this fast-paced society that we got and all the crazy things that are going on. So, you know, we want to do more than try, y'all. More than try. You got to do. Got to do. Well, with that said, David, I'll turn it back over to you, sir.
I appreciate that, sir. And yes, we got to do more than just try. Yes, we have to be a doing. And speaking of doing things, there's a lot of activities forthcoming, especially a lot of people who deal, who are editors in the National Black Unity News. And as you see, our young brother just came on board, Mr. Carl Tate's Ransom. He got a couple of events coming up. And Mr. Ransom, if you can unmute yourself, sir, I want you to share a little bit about what's taking place.
Hey, everybody. I'm Carl Tate Ransom. I have a black theater company that I started before the pandemic, which was starting to do pretty good. But once the pandemic came around, everything got shut down, of course. So we're basically starting all over. And this is our first production coming up on July 30th and 31st, an original play called Otis Untold, which is about the legendary singer, Mr. Otis Redding, which I will be portraying him. And so since this is our first show back since the pandemic, we need a lot of support, people to come out. Tickets are $25. There is a link where people can order tickets online, and I also have physical tickets as well if anybody wants to get tickets in advance. The Saturday show, July 30th, is at 7 p.m., and the Sunday show, July 31st, is at 4 p.m. at Metropolitan United Methodist Church in their fellowship hall at 1121 West Landvale Street on the corner of Landvale and Carrollton. If anybody is interested in purchasing physical tickets beforehand, they can either email me at Melanin Manor, which I'll put in the chat, melaninmanor22@gmail.com, or they can call me at or text me at 443-516-7807.
Okay, well, you can put me there for a couple of tickets because we are definitely going to be there. I'm planning on being there.
Thank you so much. And
we will continue to promote it as we go. And I encourage those who are able to attend to support our brother, you know, because like I say, the brother put a lot of hard work into what he does. And you know, because of this times, you know, we need to sometimes just relax and enjoy ourselves. So, brother, I appreciate what you do and what you're going to be doing, and keep doing what you do.
Normally I do a lot of shows that deal with what black people go through personally, and deal with us empowering ourselves and stuff like that. But this first show coming back, I wanted to do something just a little lighter, so people can come out and enjoy this, who like Otis Redding's music, and some people who don't even know his music can come out and hear some of his songs, which may drum up some new interest in him as well.
But I didn't think I heard you mention, I did not hear you mention that. Who's going to be portraying Otis Redding?
I am.
My man.
I actually posted my first rehearsal with the piano player, which is another reason why I need a lot of support, because I got to pay the piano player. I got to pay for the venue and all that. So I need people to come out with support. And I did post my first rehearsal with the piano player 2 weeks ago. I posted a snippet of me singing some of Cry Little Tenderness by Otis Redding, and I got a lot of compliments on that. A lot of people came through and commented on that post of me singing that little snippet of the song, which I can share. I can tag you in it.
Okay, I appreciate that. I appreciate it. Brother Ron Amal, you want to say something to Brother Carl Tate?
Yes, I do. If you have any kind of flyer, I can then post that on my for my contact. Do you have any kind of, you know, what they call it, a flyer or something or another?
Yes, he does. I have one, and I can make sure that you get one, you know, he can get it to you himself. If you can put, you know, Carl Tate, if you put, you know, something in the chat, people can get in touch with you. We appreciate it, sir.
Well, I wrote his phone number down, so I'll give him a call.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm an Otis Redding fan.
All right. You unmuted, Mr. Ransom. Okay, you need to unmute, you know, if you want to say something else, sir. Okay. can't get them to unmute. But in any case, there's a couple of more events that's taking place. Brother Vernon, I was hoping the young lady would be on the call this evening. Can you tell me something, what's going on with your niece event?
I guess hopefully she'll be on. She can probably tell you more information about it. I'm just in the background.
Mm-hmm.
I know it's going to be this weekend. She's going to have a couple of speakers, representation from the National Black Unity newspaper will be there. I'll be there. And she went. I'm going to find out if she's going to come on so she can talk about it.
Okay, we'll do. You know, give her a holler, and hopefully we'll be here. And Brother Dr. Leroy McKenzie, can you unmute yourself, sir? Dr. McKenzie is associated with so many people, but one of his associates is giving an event this weekend as well. Can you explain a little bit about that, sir?
Sure. It is coming Saturday. It is the Speak Life Tour event, and it's hosted, or the creator is Ms. Catherine Trotter. And what it is it's a community event. There's going to be tons of different things. It's a whole family event, but they're going to be different types of speakers. There's going to be different types of vending that's going to be there, food. You'll be able to network a little bit as business owners. And then there's going to be some performances. They're also going to have like an artist. I want to say an artist corner, where you can actually do some live paintings. They're going to show you how to do the paintings and stuff like that. So it's going to be a whole day. It's from 12 a.m. to 5 p.m. So it's all day, and it's right over in the City College parking lot. It's just there, right off of the Alameda. It's going to be right there in that parking lot. It's going to be all afternoon. It's just going to be a great day. Hopefully the weather will cooperate. It'll just be a nice, great day for you to come out. You can actually, you know, see some of the performances. I believe there's going to be some artists, as far as like maybe poets and hip-hop dancers and artists, rappers, poets. Just a whole day full of fun for the community. So definitely want to come out if you're able to. Come on out over there, spend a couple of hours, and come on through and have some food and some good fun.
Well, I'm going to try to make it, because like I say, that's both of them events that the young lady is almost around the same time, but I can, you know, like I say, but my plan was trying to go from one to the other, you know, spend a little time there, because like I said, this is a hot week.
I know, right?
And it's all good. And by the way, speaking of events, if those of you who are able, you know, like I say, it's going to be, you know, I'm up at that time in the morning, but tomorrow morning, thanks to Brother High Key, I will be on, what's that brother name, Brother High Key? Radio show tomorrow morning on WOLB. And I think his name is Carl or something.
Carl Nelson.
Yeah, the Carl Nelson show at 6 o'clock in the morning, early. And for your early risers up, if you're up in there, go check the brother out. I don't know what I'm going to say or how I'm going to say, but I'll say something. You know how I am. But in any case, it's an honor and a privilege. And Brother Hakeem, I have you on here. My brother is preparing to go abroad. So I want you to explain what's going on, Brother Hakeem, with that.
All right. Well, yes. Yeah, so good evening, brothers. I'm sorry. I'm home. I'm getting freshened up for the journey. So I'm just trimming my hair. Couldn't make it to a barber today. So. Leroy, you know something about that, right?
Hey, quick and easy, baby. Quick and easy.
Right. My man. I'm trying to be like you, brother. So thank you all. But we're looking forward to actually Wednesday, the day after the election here in the state of Maryland, the Teaching Artists Institute, we will be traveling back to Tanzania. Last year was the first time that we launched the Summer Learning Institute. in Tanzania, and that's like a 12-day educational excursion where we both take young people, a few. This time I think we had like two with us. Last year we had one, so we're making some improvement. But, you know, it's a labor of love to have young people to travel to the continent for a cross-cultural exchange. They're able to get some college credits as well. And so we, you know, have instructors that come because it's also good for people that teach speakers where they want to tap into an international market. You know, so it's a lot of learning that goes on and to understand different cultures. And it has expanded my mind. You know, of course, it was good to read about, you know, all these different parts of the world and, of course, Africa. You know, but to actually go and experience the culture and learn a little bit of Swahili that, you know, sometimes I forget, but it's been a phenomenal experience. And so we are tentatively looking for, you know, I mean, so we're going to be there again in October as well. So for, you know, just touring and some other things, but, you know, it's also business, you know, looking at the import, export, the global trade. So we're not, you know, necessarily limited just to education and taking instructors and college students, but also, you know, studying the whole landscape to learn what, you know, what we as Black people in America can offer Africa and vice versa. And so I think that from a business perspective, you know, Black people, we need to have that level of awareness. And I'll just close and say, of course, you know, we hopefully we'll have some of the Black Union newspapers. I did get a chance to go to Ethiopia just 2-3 months ago, to be part of it's called the Synergy Global Grassroots Synergy Conference, where there was a discussion around the African Union. And many people know that Addis Ababa is where the African Union headquarters, a beautiful building. So we had a lot of great pictures. Couldn't show all of them in the newspaper, but yeah, so looking forward to possibly taking some of those. You know, the young people in Tanzania love the National Black Union newspaper. So, you know, I'm looking forward to having a conversation with them and, you know, just going through some of the articles. And I mean, because these people, they really are into what we have. You know, they asking for books, they asking for, you know, anything from, you know, Black people experience here. So, you know, we, the National Black Unity newspaper, you know, for the past, you know, couple editions has, you know, really touched some of them. We send a few there and they actually share it and be, you know, and they ask questions. So they literally will read you all's articles. So just know that you all are touching a global audience and people there, they really care about, you know, the information. They share the newspaper and they, you know, all of them read it, you know, because they value this type of information. I know here we, you know, sometimes, it's a newspaper, you know, but they value that. So that's what I say. So thanks, Brother David. Looking forward to hearing you tomorrow as well. Yes, sir.
Man, you know, I appreciate you, man, because you and Sister Kim has taken this publication all over the world. And, you know, and that's why I tell people we don't know how far we reach. We don't know who we reach, but we are reaching. And thanks to people like yourself, brother, I appreciate you for that. And, you know, so like I said, it's a lot going on. And like I say, the National Black Unity News will be in the house at both events this weekend coming up. And in the following week, brother, hoping Brother Bill would be on here. He's hosting an event on the 30th as well. Sister Sada Storm will be at our social club. And we are planning on being there as well. So, you know, like I said, things are getting kind of hot and heavy, and we are taking the publication wherever we go. That's what we, you know, we bring the publication with us. So we are reaching a lot of people. And speaking of publications, Brother Ronald Miles, would you unmute yourself, sir? Brother Ronald Miles and I, you know, he's putting together a program book about East Baltimore. Can you elaborate on that a little bit, brother?
Oh, yes, I will. Well, I'm putting together a program to, if you're familiar with East Baltimore, it's called the Perkins Somerset Old Town Project, where they tore down the Somerset homes, and it's going to be like 1,300 new homes there. But situated in that footprint is the iconic African-American accomplishment of the Chick Webb Memorial Recreation Center. Many people don't know the story that that particular center is the only center in America, I would say, that it actually was built by nationally known black folk that included Joe Louis, Ella Fitzgerald, Jackie Mons, maybe Duke Ellington, Louis Armstrong, Ink Spot. So that particular center is located right there in the redevelopment area. And because we're getting many more new residents, David and I, we're putting together a booklet that will highlight the different African-American culture and heritage within that area for the new residents, and hopefully they would then to embrace the area by them learning about it. And for the existing residents who do not know about the area, the significance of the Old Town community. It's going to be a phenomenal development, you all, with 1,300 new homes. I grew up in Somerset Projects, by the way, and I attended Dunbar High School. And I tell you, even in this booklet, when I learned that Dunbar High School did not become a high school until 1940, and you had people in there like Esther Reeves, who was the first black nurse who attended the University of Maryland, and Lois Young, who attended Dunbar and was the first black to attend Maryland for the School of Optometry. And there was just so much more. So David is working with me and putting that booklet together, and we'll be celebrating the 75th anniversary of the Chick Webb Memorial Recreation Center as we educate the community. Because what happens is I've pressed the department to educate the community before demolition. Often, and they were going to tear down the Chick Webb Rec Center until we did the research on it. But we are vulnerable, so I want to enlighten the community of those particular assets that's there, so in the future they would have an understanding of what is significant culturally and within our heritage in that neighborhood. After that, it's going to be on them.
Well, you know, like I say, you know, like I always tell people, we need to tell our stories. And like I say, not only our story, but we need to preserve our history as well. And brother, you've been on the front lines, you know, taking up the mantle with that, and I appreciate that. And Chick Webb is special to me because that's when I first started swimming at the Chick Webb Center. I used to come from all the way from West Baltimore, Holy Boys Club, and attend that, you know, that center. So it has a special place in my heart. And thank God for a brother like yourself who has stood up and stood in the gap so that, you know, people just won't take our history. And like I say, Chick Webb was a famous jazz musician, you know, and he worked with some of the most of all the greats back in those days. And I thought we had plenty of them. So I appreciate you, brother. Go ahead, brother.
The other part of that, though, is we always highlight Chick Webb as a king jazz drummer, but we also have to recognize the philanthropy that that young man did and died at a very young age. And when we could not go to Drew Hill Park, Patterson Park, Carroll Park, and the disinvestment over the course of years where they was going to demolish it, I learned about it when I was 70 years old. I went in there when I was 9 and learned to swim. And I tell the city, I used to take a bath in a tin tub in front of a potbelly stove. When I went to swim, I became a lifeguard, and it helped me pay my way through school and take care of my family. So, and I would share the story with some others. I'll write an article for you, Dave. I think it's going to be important.
All right, we see what we can do on that, sir. And by the way, we have Danielle, who has just joined us, as I mentioned earlier, with Brother Vernon, that she's hosting an event as well. Maybe she can tell us a little bit about it. Danielle, can you come in?
Yes. Hello. Oh, if you can see me.
Yes,
hello.
We can.
So Saturday, July 23rd at 11 a.m., 11 to 2, I'm having a networking event, and there's going to be other black big small businesses that's going to have their products. They're going to be vendors, and I'm going to have a few speakers, and I'm going to talk about my organization as well. So it'd be great for you all to come on out and support and also mingle with other black-owned businesses. So, yeah, I like hosting networking events to build unity in the community. So that's the reason why I like doing networking events. And my nonprofit is called The Other Corporation, and I teach sustainable fashion. And that's like, I can go on and on about that. But I teach sustainable fashion, do webinars, and I used to redesign clothes, which I'm going to eventually get back to. But right now it's the educational part. And I go to different schools and I talk about sustainable fashion and why it's important for us to be more sustainable in fashion. So that's about me.
Okay, great. You know, and I just want you to know that you know.
In Baltimore.
Yeah. Okay. Baltimore. Come on now.
Yeah.
Where in Baltimore?
Where your bed gonna be at? Yeah.
It's going to be it's not too far from the news station, the WJZ news station. Let me see the actual street. It's at a studio. My friend, he's actually a black photographer and videographer. He has a studio, and it's going to be at his studio.
Talking about Iron Crown Production?
His name is Mike John.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, Mike John. Hold on. It's Parkdale Studios. It was an old, it's 3500 Parkdale Avenue. It was an old warehouse. It's an old warehouse where a lot of artists and photographers have their studio.
Okay. All right. So we're planning on being there, so I'm going to get a couple of tickets from you as well. So,
okay.
So, you know, we'll be in the house, so we should have some publications as well.
Okay, all great. Right.
Okay. All right. And so, and there's one more gentleman on there who got an event coming up, and his event will be online, and it's crucial to our community, because the young lady just mentioned, you know, unity in our community. And Brother Cliff, can you unmute yourself, sir?
Yes, I can.
Yes, sir. Can you inform us, sir, what's taking place with you and what you got forthcoming?
Okay. First of all, mild apologies for the camera. It's a little. I go in and out a little bit, which actually in some corners might be doing everyone a favor. Unlike Brother Haki, I don't know that a barber is going to do me much good at this point in time. But at any rate, I just got off the bike a little while ago, so if I sound like I'm a little disjointed, it's because I still got the, you know, everything, blood's rushing kind of fast. But Wednesday will be the 7th meeting of the Maryland Pan-African Cooperative Coalition, or MPAC, if you want to spare a few syllables. And we started this in January, of course, and we've had meetings on Zoom every Wednesday, every month, either on Wednesday or Thursday. Most of our meetings have been on Wednesdays at 7 p.m. And anyone who is interested in coming to the meeting, of course, is welcome to join us. And I believe I sent you, Baba David, I believe I sent you the Zoom link. So anyone who is interested in getting the Zoom link, you can either contact him or you can either put something in the chat or contact me about coming on board. The over the last 6 meetings, We've largely been just discussing things in general, kind of getting a bit of a feel for each other. I've been trying not to go too fast with it because sometimes getting there first isn't necessarily the point. Sometimes you get somewhere too fast and then you just throw a whole bunch of people together. You haven't built any relationships and then you don't know how to build something together with other people. And sometimes that's why a lot of these efforts fall flat. So I'm trying not to get too far ahead of myself. I'm trying not to get too ambitious with what we say we're going to accomplish. But this Wednesday, one thing that I want to at least start doing is sharing something of a proposed strategic plan with the people who are in the meeting on Wednesday. We've talked a little bit about business cooperatives in a very loose kind of a sense. We've had Sister Eartha Harris come on from Tight Knit, Brother Malon Butler from IBA, and we also had Baba King Teasdell, who is Oba Deli, who is hooked up with Kioba, and we've talked a little bit around that. We haven't systematized anything yet in terms of finding a way to have the coalition itself really get behind some kind of combination of those efforts. We've talked a little bit about community education programs, different kind of SMART, Watoto Development Center, and Roots of Scouting and others. And I'm hoping we can have a little bit more of a conversation about that and how we're going to move that forward. I've talked to a few people and conversed with them over Facebook and the internet, that sort of thing. The Maryland Council of Elders is scheduling a meeting earlier that day, and I plan to go to that meeting. I'm not officially a member of the Maryland Council of Elders, but I plan to attend that meeting to get an idea of where the council wants to go in terms of restarting a lot of its programs this year as we start coming out of COVID. And kind of getting a feel for that. So I hope to be able to share something from that meeting with everyone. And then the other things are what I consider to be two international Pan-Africanism efforts. One is related to what Brother Haki was speaking about earlier, the Pan-African Root Synergy Roundtable that was held in Addis Ababa, Ethiopia, in the end of May. And that was a cooperative effort of organization I'm in, Six Region Diaspora Caucus, African Union, African Diaspora, Six Region Facilitators Working Group, and a number of other organizations, African Diaspora Right to Return, which is a sister who lives in Tanzania right now, who's working on right of return issues for people in the diaspora who want to return to the motherland. So those organizations and a few more got together in Addis Ababa, Ethiopia to, number one, try to put some heat on the African Union. Number two, review a 2012 African Diaspora Declaration that was done 10 years ago. Number three, try to get all these different Pan-African organizations kind of together on the same page, not necessarily speaking with one voice, but more several voices singing the same song together. So those are the things that they're working on a global level. Another global effort is for those who don't have any faith in the African Union, and my guess is if they keep this bureaucracy going much longer, that number will get larger, is another effort that started in 2015, which would essentially create a global Pan-African entity that would ultimately potentially replace the African Union. That would be the United African States, consisting of 55 African countries, roughly 15 or so African nations in the Caribbean, and large populations of people of African descent scattered around the world, from Brazil to the United States to the UK to other places. And that would be a way to create a global Pan-African continental entity that would automatically incorporate members of the Pan-African diaspora in the event that the African Union fails to live up to its 2006 promise to bring us in. So those are two different global Pan-African efforts that are going on. And what we're looking to do is find a way to at least a conduit by which members of the coalition can pick one, pick both, and support those efforts to basically forge some kind of global Pan-African unity, and then at the same time do something for our local community on the community education front, the business front, the arts and culture front, And the media front, of course, with what you're doing here with National Black Unity News and what Sister Eartha does with TightKnit and all those things. So my hope is to be able to at least share at least the bones of what that proposed strategic plan would be and maybe gauge people's reactions, people's responses to it, what people really feel energized about pursuing, and also to dispel the notion that we don't have a direction, to dispel the notion that we're just getting together to just run off at the mouth, and to dispel the notion that some people have expressed that maybe we don't know what we're doing. So that's primarily what we want to do on Wednesday, try to sort of set a direction, and then in subsequent meetings after that, hopefully we'll have some of the specifics in place for some of those projects that we can really get into.
All right. I appreciate that, sir. And I will be sending out the links for the Wednesday event. And brother Cliff, can you send me the thing on the Council of Elders?
Absolutely. Yeah. I'll get that information. I'll get the specific meeting information and the address. And I talked to Mama Kilolo about a week ago, and she mentioned it to me on the phone, but I was on the road at the time. So I will definitely pull that information up and get that to you as soon as I can.
I appreciate that. And so, ladies and gentlemen, as you can see, that, you know, it's a lot of activity. So, you know, people are just not just talking about doing this and doing that. We just spent almost the whole show on just events, you know, but taking place in and around town and across the nation and across the world. And so, you know, I thank God because, like I say, movement is taking place. And and I want to support as many of these efforts as we possibly can. And but, you know, I just want to congratulate you all, those who have already spoken about the events, that those who are listening on Facebook, Blog Talk Radio, support these efforts, because, you know, a lot of blood, sweat, and tears goes into these events and activities. And they are worthy. They are truly worthy of our support, because they're there to support us. And so I appreciate you, you know, each and every one of you. Now, I'm not going to hold you long this evening because a lot is on the plate. And as I mentioned to you before, if you could be up 6 o'clock in the morning, I'll be on Carl Nelson show. And I think that show is syndicated. So we may be airing all across the country at the same time.
I think they'll even replay it, too, if you can't get up at 6 o'clock in the morning. I think they can still catch it later on.
But, like I say, and, you know, I appreciate that. And that's because, you know, of our network system. Brother High Key pretty much set this up for me. So I appreciate that. And like I say, and then Dr. McKenzie and Danielle and Carl Taze and all of, you know, we planning on being at all of these events. And a lot of them kind of cross over to each other. But we're going to try to spend a little time here and then make our way to all of you. We're going to try to make all of them. But I do know this, the National Black Unity News will be up front and present, even when our brother Haki go over to Tanzania. You know, the publications will be going with them because they will be ready tomorrow. And I talked to the printer today. So, you know, it's a matter of, you know, one of our members, IBA, Brother Milan, he picks the publications up now. Instead of us spending our resources on their company, we decide to keep that money in our own circulation, so to speak, so that, you know, we have to practice what we preach. And but in any case, you know, like I say, it's a hot publication and a lot of great information. And we have a couple of editors on here, Cheryl Ricks and Dr. Nala is on here with us. And if y'all have anything coming up in your circles, you know, let us know. I talked to Cheryl Ricks earlier today, and she has she's doing some great and wonderful things in the upcoming future. Dr. Nala, you want to share anything with us while we're on air?
No, but I do want to congratulate everyone on what they're doing. You all are doing some great things, and the community needs all of your voices, and just keep doing the things that you're doing. And I tell you, we're just going to continue to make a big difference in our society, because God knows our people need to be uplifted and as I said, keep doing a great job. And I'm so glad to be a part of the Black Unity newspaper. And I will have some things coming forth. Royal Kingdom Society is putting some things together, and you guys will be hearing about it soon.
All right. Ms. Cheryl Ricks, how about you, young lady? Hey, if you can, you can unmute yourself. Just let us know. And
Here I am.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm very happy to be a part of this amazing movement as well. And I'm just grateful. I'm grateful that God brought us all together so we can do these things collectively and make more of an impact and a difference in our communities and around the world. And, you know, Brother David, you are just an amazing facilitator of a lot of different things. And none of us would be here if it wasn't for you. I mean, you were the one that connected us to the paper, and you, as well as other founders, are the paper. But what I wanted to share, starting this particular edition of the National Black News, I started featuring a nonprofit organization in Baltimore to highlight each month on my website. And the month of July, I'm highlighting a nonprofit organization named Bell, which is a nonprofit organization that caters to minority and small business owners and women business owners to help them get funding that they couldn't get in any other place. And the training and the resources and the networking that goes on in this organization is amazing. I just got finished being part of their six-week entrepreneurship program, and we graduated. We all had an opportunity to pitch for a $10,000 prize. I didn't win it, but the person in the class that did win it was pretty phenomenal. And those of us that didn't win it, there's opportunities for us in the community. And so my website is www.sisters.circle.com. And I'll put it in the chat if anybody wants to contribute. Order one of my books or all of them. One is called Sister Circle, The Power of Sisterhood, A Guide to Becoming the Woman God Designed You to Be. The other one is Rest in God, How to Keep Living When Life Get Hard. And the other book is called Please Forgive Me Before It's Too Late, I Love You and I Need You in My Life. Thank you.
All right, I appreciate that. And we have another young lady who I've known for a multitude of years. I ain't gonna say that because I'll be telling my age, but she's also a supporter of the National Black Unity. She is a subscriber to the National Black Unity News. Ms. Hazel Hunter, would you like to say anything?
Good evening, everybody. Sorry, I got on late. I think I know Cheryl Ricks from Mary Kay.
Yeah, I used to do Mary Kay.
All right, how you doing? I saw that name, and I said I thought that was you. But congratulations.
Hey.
To everybody who's got things going on and upcoming events, and I'll try to support as many of the events as I can also. But it's just a pleasure, and I enjoy watching the National Black Unity News grow, and keep up the good work, everybody. I'll be praying for you all. Thank you.
And by the way, speaking of the National Black Unity News, Ms. Hunter will be her picture will be on in this issue. You know, I'm going to tell you why, because those of you know, a couple of months ago, I was the honorary ringmaster for the Universal Soul Circus. And the gentleman who owned the circus, Cedric Walker, which we call Ricky, grew up on the same block as Hazel and myself and a couple other people. And so we showed up at the circus and we took a group picture. And on page 45, you can see us all, you know, the whole group of us, you know. But on the front page, it's myself, Cedric Walker, and another gentleman who grew up on the same block with a Charles Ballou, call him Charlie. And it's amazing how we all come from the same hood, neighborhood, because that's what it was, a neighborhood, not a hood. It was a neighborhood that we grew up in. And I did a survey. I have a good memory, and I remember every household. And I recall during that time in the 60s, you know, it was about 62 children on that one block.
Yeah.
62. I mean, man, you know, and the average size family was about five. That was a small family. And so, you know, but the average is 7 or 8 of us, you know. But in any case, you know, it was just wonderful memories, and by the circus being in town, and then and by us being together, it inspired me to do the article about us, how we grew up and how we serve, and, you know, we should continue to serve in our communities after all the difficulties that we have been through on a personal basis. And so, but, you know, I just want to share a few things before we shut this thing down. This week, you know, I'm from Baltimore, Maryland. I know some of us from all different parts of the country. But most of you have heard of the squeegee. They call them squeegee children or people. But I think they're young entrepreneurs out there trying to earn some money. And one of the, and an unfortunate incident happened about a couple of weeks ago where a gentleman was killed by one, they say, by one of the, you know, alleged squeegee children. And now this young man is sitting in jail and being charged as an adult. And the other gentleman, he's dead. Now, the way the report, so far as I'm concerned, I don't know what really happened, but they say this man got out of his car, parked, you know, the downtown, got out of the car, went across several 8 lanes of traffic, parked, got out of his car, picked up a bat and came at the children. And they say this gentleman about 6'2", weighed about 240-something pounds. And they explained that this young boy, who was at 14 years old at the time, weighed about 120 or something like this. And this man wielding the bat, and unfortunately, he ended up getting shot. And so that, and unfortunately for both families, one lost, you know, because, you know, could have been avoided on many different levels. But unfortunately, it ended up this way. But nevertheless, this young man is sitting in jail, never been in trouble before. And we talking about, you know, like I said, I don't know what the outcome is this day, but I do know, I can even imagine what this young man is going through. First of all, being attacked. He's just trying to earn some money. You know, a big man like that coming at you with a bat. And that ended up in jail. And the reason, one of the reasons, not that he was trying to earn some money, he'd been doing this for a long time. I think they say since he's about 7 years old and out there. And so, and people don't know or realize what some children have to go through in their family life. People don't really, really know the outcome of these individuals. But I do know this. Years ago, and Brother Haki probably could remember, we started a youth program. I used to have a publication called The Informer. And they had squeegee children then. And it was many years ago. And Brother Satari can remember. I'm glad he's on here because that's Brother Satari helped train these young people, you know, and we had a lot of activity at his facility at the time. And I put up 20, listen, I put up 20 help warning signs. Do you know we filled that school up in Emerson Brothers Wildwood Parkway, the elementary school, we filled that auditorium up with people who wanted jobs. This is how bad people wanted to work. And we used the Informer newspaper as a tool for them to make money instead of selling, they're doing the squeegee. And them children made great money. You know, they read the Informer newspaper. They were so enthusiastic. And that's why I have a special passion for those children, because I got to know some. I even had a team of 4 of them that I took out there myself personally. And they told me their stories. They told me the hardship that some of them went through. Some of them just had normal, regular lives, but, you know, just were doing things. But some of them children had rough times. And so before people, you know, rush to judgment and stuff like that, you know, you really got to look at certain. But nevertheless, I was so pleased. Because 2 of our prominent attorneys, pro bono, stood up and going to defend this young man. And see, that's what I love about, you know, our black community sometimes. You know, we get a lot of bad press sometimes, but, you know, when stuff hits the fan sometimes, we step in and support one another, just like y'all do with the National Black Unity News. You know, people don't understand. I was talking to Ms. Cheryl Ricks earlier today. See, people don't understand. See, we're dealing with black people. And even for the National Black Unity News to survive for 5 years, you know, and we don't get no outside money from nowhere. We get it from black people. So you cannot tell me black people don't support this and don't support that because they support the National Black Unity News and vice versa. We support those who participate with us as well. And not only that, as Brother Hakeem was explaining, he said the people in Africa love this publication. They read this publication because what they see is unity. They see you. They see us. Who else can you see a black publication? Just on the front page alone, I counted about 15. It's about 15 people on the front cover, black people, like you, just us, and that's just on the front cover. But throughout the entire publication, it is us, we black folk, melanated people, talking about this, and we're talking about this. But I can guarantee you this: the information that goes forth from this publication comes from people else like Dr. Nilo, Cheryl Ricks, and Brother Byrne, and Brother Satavi Jahi, and so many other, Dr. Leroy McKenzie, who put books and, all sorts of stuff. So we have a variety of information, and we still, we've only been around 5 years, but we still in our infancy. But yet, through many storms, trials, and tribulations, we are still standing, no matter what the obstacles that was. And so I continue, and I thank you for your support. But at the same time, continue to support the National Black Unity News through subscriptions, and advertisement, and sharing our information, because our information is geared to enhance your quality of life. And it is a powerful publication. And I have no shame in my game in telling you this by divine inspiration. And those of you who have ears, hear what I'm saying. Your eyes, you can open your eyes and see. But like I say, only God could assemble a group of people like us to come forth who are willing to share. Willing to share, not only willing to share, but put up their resources to make this publication to continue to flow. And so we just really want to thank you for that. And Brother Cliff got this major event come up because that's what he's all about, is bringing us together in a uniform way that we can bring all of our outfits, all of them, from our every spectrum, from media, entertainment, all sorts of things to come together, because those things we all we got, pretty much, and pretty much is all we really need, and we will make a difference. We always have, but again, we have to start sharing our narratives, our stories, and that's what we do with the National Black Unity News. We have a couple of young people on here, and I'm just going to make a special appeal for them, Brother Cortez and Danielle. Well, both editors in the National Black Unity News. See, they stepping out on faith. And I understand what it takes to do what they're doing, because I've done them things before, put on events and stuff. It's a lot on your shoulders when you have to put this stuff together, especially when you're not, when you don't have the resources or a large team working with you. But yet they still step out on faith anyway. And they move forward, and I encourage y'all to support them. Even if you can't be there, just donate to them. It is extremely important, because you never know. So sometimes our young people get weary and they give up sometimes because they don't see the support. But you never know, like Brother Carter, you never know that could be the next Langston Hughes or somebody. You never know that Danielle could be the fashion Ebony, the way Ebony was back in the day. You never know the gifts and talents that God has put into these young people that need our support. And those of us who consider ourselves as elders, by any means necessary, we need to support our young people, because it's difficult times. And like I said, and for those to step up the way they have, they need all of our support. So, I just want to let them know that they got mines. And before this week out, if you have any more materials, I already got your material, but I will continue to post it. I'm going to put it out there all over the place, But at the same time, I do what I can. But if we collectively do what we can, it'll make a greater impact. And so I appreciate y'all, for your participation. And before we get off of here this evening, I'm almost on time, too. Before we get off of here, on Wednesday, please support Brother Cliff, because this thing is vital, what he's doing. I mean, it is truly vital. I don't care if you have a business or a service or anything. You need to be on this call, because it does take a village. And Brother Leroy, Dr. Leroy McKenzie. You need to go on his page sometime and follow this brother, because this brother does so many interviews and highlights so many different people. And see, you know, we could talk all the talk we want to, but, you know, we got people on here who are proven soldiers with proven track records who are actually doing it. They're not just talking, they're actually doing it. And Brother Satara, I know he don't say much on these broadcasts, but, you know, he's doing the podcast stuff. But Brother Satara's been out there just as long as I have on the front lines, serving out you and even help my children. Now they got children, you know, and stuff like this. But, you know, and they still serving. You know, they, you know, been around for a long time. And so, and I'm so pleased because God has blessed us with a tool that we call the National Black Unity News that bring this podcast together. And, but, you know, we come a long way, but we definitely got a long way to go, and we have some serious work to do. And so before we close out, you know, that's all I have for you this evening. Like I say again, if you can, at 6 o'clock a.m., join us on the call. I'm trying to get calls. It's like I'm in the circus again. I'll be on the radio tomorrow morning. I'll clean that up. So, on WOLB. And if you can't get on, like I said, I don't know what I do. I talk about the paper. If I'm talking about the paper, therefore I will be talking about you. And so, you know, do what you can. And again, if anybody else have anything closing, Brother Miles, I appreciate you for what you're doing in the East Baltimore area. And this brother is a soldier, man, and he's all around good guy and support. You know, we're going to put this publication together. And we need more publication. This is his idea. You know, we need to highlight our own community, our historical facts, you know, from where we come from, you know, because as we already know, for those of us who especially in Baltimore, how they have wiped out our history. I mean, knocked down the buildings. There's no more traces of it. Just in our own memories. When we die, it's dead. And so that's why what Brother Miles is doing is so extremely important. So he needs your support as well, because he's up against, and people know some of the things that he's already doing, but nobody wants to support. Again, like I said, they're wiping out our memories, our history. And so, like I said, we have to continue to tell our stories and our narratives, and thank God for brothers like him.
David, let me stood up. In a little.
Yes, sir. Come right on in, brother. So I'm getting tired and we're talking.
I should tell everyone here that I actually work in many neighborhoods in Baltimore. I consider them our different franchise communities. My background has been in community development for a number of years. So I target different neighborhoods when I feel that they need some assistance. And the most recent thing I'm dealing with is they want to make a neighborhood here a National Historic District. But again, they have not educated the current residents as far as the pros and cons. So although many people think I'm just over in East Baltimore, I'm in several neighborhoods. And I tell you, to try to hold the city accountable is a Herculean job that not only goes for the bureaucrats, but it also applies to our elected officials, you see. So again, so I do move around, and I surprise many people when I pop up because I'm about educating our disenfranchised community. So just like Pennsylvania Avenue, we embrace the demolition of the Royal Theater and come back in the rear, or Cab Calloway House. We come back in the rear because the leaders who are there don't know, and the educated planners go in and don't tell them anything. So let us make some real decisions. And I'll put this note into your head. As people are doing this development, we are consumers. We do not negotiate the asset. They're saying, well, we're going to give this many jobs. But what happens after the jobs? We do not negotiate an integral part in development. So that's one of the things that I also do when you sit down with developers and the planners, is come to the table with at least some knowledge so you can negotiate some terms when they talk about equity and inclusion. So that's, yeah. I'll be talking with some of you more.
Well, that's extremely, that's what I'm saying, that's extremely important because, like I say, man, you know, I grew up up and down Pennsylvania Avenue, and I recall it in its heydays. And but now you go down there, like I said, just a memory. It's a marquee and a statue here and there, but that's pretty much it. And most of the residents have no clue of what it was. You know, we had our own hospitals in that area. We had, you know, so much going on in that area at one time back in those days. And but you know, there is a sign that, you know, what we can do today, and we can build a better future for tomorrow, because we are building an institution. National Black Unity News is the institution that's being built right now today, and hopefully hundreds of years in there, they'll still be talking about us. Brother Vernon, I see you got your hand up.
Yes, I don't know if it's the forum to, you know, to talk about the World Theater, but Mr. Ronald Myers had mentioned the demolition of the World Theater, and I, like, you know, me being young, I would like to know, you know, I don't know if it's the forum, but the story behind that and the reason why it was demolition, you know, because we have another historical building that they talk about demoing. But when they demoed the World Theater, was it in the plan to rebuild it? Because it never got rebuilt. And that was a historical, and I never got a chance to see, you know, the World Theater, and that's part of my, you know, part of my history. And for years I was trying to figure out where it was, and then I finally figured out where it was, but it's just like it's just like a ghost.
Let me share this with you. You have your professional planners that come into neighborhoods, and you have the community input. And I go back a long way. When they had urban renewal, I'm not going to name any names, but they embraced the demolition when planners came in and said, oh, we're going to build you some new homes, and we're going to put you a park here. And then they clapped their hands to demolish it to create a new neighborhood. The issue, and more recently, is the Cab Calloway house. The same thing happened, but that they don't share with the community the cultural pieces where they can build around and the community negotiate as to what should go and what should not go. And oftentimes we think something is historic, but you have to go through a process prior to that to ensure that it gets historic. You know, just like the Chick Webb Center, who knew that it was built by nationally known black people from the ground up? They didn't share that with anybody, but they was going to put a new YMCA there, you see. And there's another building called the Huntington Williams Building, the Health Department Building, called the Eastern Health District. Did the research on that, that adjoins it. So I did the history on that. Oh, but some more trickery is going on. So, again, anytime we want, you know, this is what I do, is work with these neighborhoods and say, you can demolish, but please give us the understanding, because I can name the community leaders that press for the demolition, okay?
that's another story for another day, because...
Yeah. That's a whole...
You know, because I used to be a vice president of the Lower Evanston Village Community Association. And it's a sad story that people who vote for the same community fights like cats and dogs over problems off the table.
Mm-hmm.
But collectively, they could have came in and got the whole pie. But that's the way they do, you know, and that's the way they treat us. And that's why the National Black Unity News and people like us, that's why I say it's so important that we have to come together, because all of us don't have the skills and the knowledge that Mr. Miles has. But see, David, I can join forces with Mr. Miles, and I can use the media to help highlight it, spread the word. You know, Brother Cliff can come in and bring organizations in. See, you know, this is what that's what Cliff is talking about this coming Wednesday. You know, if we come together, we can avoid a lot of this stuff. You know, go ahead, Brother Cliff, got your hand up.
Yeah, I just was curious. Elder Miles has been involved in neighborhoods across the city, and of course, in touching on a Royal Theater, and that's getting into Penn North. And I was just curious as to how much communication you, sir, have had with, say, for instance, groups like Arch Social Club. Like, I'm a member of Arch Social Club. I believe Elder David Murphy is a member of Arch Social Club. And there have been a number of other people who are members of Arch Social Club who have called in to this podcast and have also called into our cooperative coalition meetings when we've had them. And I'm just kind of curious as to what your perspective, understanding, whatever it is, as far as what is going on in Penn North right now, because I do know that Arch Social Club is involved with, say, for instance, among other things, renovating their own building, taking some of the run-down vacant houses in a lot back behind the building and trying to do something to either turn them into potential teaching spaces and even a possibility of there's an open lot there that might be turned into something akin to a park or something, a little mini park where you can have outdoor cultural events and things of that nature. And then there are other people who they have talked to who have put plans in motion to restore, revitalize, renovate a number of buildings going down Pennsylvania Avenue as part of the reestablishment of a Black arts and entertainment district on the Pennsylvania Avenue corridor in Penn North. So I was just kind of curious as to what kind of connection you've been able to forge with groups in that area.
Yes, I communicate with Denise and some others at Art Social and Miss West over there. And even with the designation as your, we went to something, the arts district. Now, that's going to incur, tax credits? If we don't own the land over there, the only people that's going to benefit that with us not being just consumers are developers and investors. So those designations, whether it's enterprise zone or whether it's empowerment zones or arts district, we need to prepare ourselves to get those designations so we can get a piece of the pie and not be the consumers. So I'm looking very carefully, and yes, I do talk to the Arts Social and Ms. West with the other group over there in the fragmentation in Drude Heights and Poppin' Heights and the rest of them as well.
Right. All important questions, as you say, all important questions that need to be asked. And sometimes, as I said before, we rush headlong into a thing, and we don't necessarily think out all of the different things that come in, which is why we need to have all these different types of activists and organizers coming together, because there's stuff I don't think about that you will.
Yeah, and people, again, we have to stay in our lane. I'm the former director of the HUD office in Tulsa, Oklahoma. So I worked in Black Wall Street. I was a community building in Las Vegas. I worked all over the country. And I'm retired now, and I'm returned to Baltimore. I worked for HCD City for 14 years. I developed programs in Govins and Oliver and all of these places. Again, educating the community so that they have the strength is important, because your planners, and they come in with prescribed plans.
Mm-hmm.
Unless you get the background and stuff. And I'm going to give you an example. I've fought for 2 years for them not to put another basketball court when they do the Chickweb Rec Center. Madison Square is being torn down with two or three basketball courts. And up until 2 months ago, did they change the nomenclature from a gymnasium to a cultural multipurpose center, where I had to do the demographics of the area to show them that 75% of that community was over 18 years old when they wanted to put another playground in there instead of putting in a plaza. Oh, it's been but again, you know, having to do that when the planners and those professionals are supposed to do it, and our community do not have the capacity of understanding, and the ones that are funded, such as Drude Heights, when you look at their staffing, do they have the systems in place that really can do that, or do they become complicit and go along with whatever's taking place? Because you're supposed to negotiate with the developer. Although you may not have the resources, do I now negotiate them that part of their development cost back to me as a nonprofit in the neighborhood? You see, we're not negotiating, sir.
And I would add that, say, for instance, the concept of staying in one's lane is quite appropriate in terms of allowing people to operate within their areas of expertise and not having people who don't know what's going on try to tell those people how to handle their business. Yes. At the same time, I would say that while we are staying in our lanes in order to handle those areas where we specialize in, if those lanes never converge, then we don't come together.
Yes.
We don't come together, we don't collaborate, and then we don't build a holistic solution. So, yeah.
So we educate, you're in that lane, you might not have the whole expertise, but you educate, because when it comes down, I mean, like, how many people know about what they call the CIP, the Capital Improvement Plan, whereas every year, every department puts in a budget to deal with the schools, the recreation centers, the streets, and all of that. They don't get involved with that process that goes on, and then it leaves it up to the staff people to make decisions as to what a roof going to be put on a certain building.
Okay.
A school or recreation center or what streets are going to be paved. Small things. And there's no collaboration between the two the agencies. That's why you see a street tore up, then they fix the house and they come back and fix it back. Because DPW is not talking to HCD. And then you got those other agencies out there. They won't talk to each other.
Right.
We have to be educated enough to bring them together and do things more comprehensively. It's tough work, sir.
Well, that just goes to show you that even the government, and just like you say, they all, you know, do their little isolated thing, and it causes a ball of confusion. But who,
right.
but who does it affect the most? We, us. You know, we pay the price, and they get the profits.
Let me share this one last item. They had the community, which is over there, which is primary public housing residents, from Perkins Project, Somerset, and up in what we were discussing, three developments of recreation with all those people when we know certain people didn't even cross certain streets. And then down in Perkins, down by the harbor, it's going to be a completely new neighborhood, but they have people to have input into the development for the recreation down there. I said, who's going to live down here? Why are you discussing this when you ain't even don't even know who's going to live down here? Oh, man. We'll have another discussion, y'all.
All right, but I'm going to say this. You know, I appreciate, you know, all the input, and that's why I say that's why it's so important that we need to support one another. Mm-hmm. And that's why communication is so important, because, like I say, if you don't know, you don't know. If nobody don't tell us, we won't know.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's why, you know, what Brother Cliff is doing with the circle, you know, that's why we all need to come together so that we can put information out, and then we can all know how we can get involved with certain things, you know. But again, I want to thank each and every one of you. We can really close off here. And I just want to just add another closing note. Support our young people with their activity. You know, they really, I mean, even if you have to donate something to them, you know, really support them, because it is vital. And who knows? These may be the same young people, the same young people that's going to come back and sustain you when we get a little, even a little older. You know, but you never know that they may be the ones who will be standing in the gap for us. So, again, you know, I'm going to say a pleasant good night and for all of your participation. And we'll be back on here tomorrow night with the National Black Unity News. But I don't facilitate that, but I'll be on it. But, you know, it's talking about the National Black Unity News newspaper. And for brothers like Brother Miles and everybody else, Brother Cliff, you know, y'all are very close associated with us, but, you know, the doors are always open. And we need your support as well. And because y'all have vital information, not only do Baltimore need to hear, but the world need to hear what you're doing, because the same thing is happening here in Baltimore, is happening in Detroit and all over the places. And brother, like Brother Miles, he had that type of information, and it need to be shared, you know, because like I said, and then that would wake up people in their community, because the same thing happened to them. And that's why on a national basis, we do what we do. But like I said, we're in our infancy, and we need all hands on deck because we know this is a monumental task, but it can be done because we have the expertise to do it. And there's no doubt we have it. You know, we just look at just a small group of someone here tonight. But look at the wealth of information that we got, the talents that we have. And so, again, I just want to thank each and every one of you, and I'm going to bid you all a pleasant good night. If you can make it tomorrow, 7:30 p.m. sharp, I'll be sending out information on that as well, because you have to get
voted. If you haven't early voted, be sure to vote.
I'll be doing that tomorrow, too, because I missed the other part, you know. I just like going to the polls, you know, when it's happening. But, you know, when I leave the thing, I'm going straight to the polls and do my thing because it's very important. You know, people don't realize the people before us, what they had to go through just to do this, just to have the opportunity to do this. And that's why they're doing everything and they possibly can to keep us from doing this. There's a reason for that. But so, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to say good night. And just keep doing what you're doing and collectively, you know, support Brother Cliff this Wednesday. I'll be sending that out very soon. And all these events that are going around this town, I'll be sharing it tomorrow as well, okay? God bless. Right. Have a good evening.
God bless. Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
Goodbye.
Hey, good night, everybody. That concludes this broadcast for this evening. Rolls out with our theme song, My Time, on a second here. Okay, here we go. Hopefully we can hear. All right. I'm going to say good night. Catch y'all next week, same time, same station, here on the National Black Union News Podcast here on Blog Talk Radio. All right, take care. And you can do this online, leave us a comment so that we urge you to follow us. And you can email me at BABAJAHI. 17@gmail.com. Or you can leave me a text message at 252-458-3712. And don't forget to get your Vortex site so you can call me. We can talk about all of that and just move forward. All right. Take care. God bless.